All right, so y'all guess what we're talking about over the next several weeks. We're going to be talking about conflict over the next several weeks. We are starting a series this morning that we are calling Fighting Fair, looking at the purpose of conflict, the fact that it's inevitable, how we can use it in the church. And we're going to start right there with that first thought this morning, that conflict is inevitable. For about 6 years before we moved here, Cheryl and I lived in a little town in West Texas called Bront. We were there for a little bit over 6 years, and while I was the first the pastor of the First Baptist Church there, it was a good 6 years. We had a lot of success, made a lot of lifelong relationships, a lot of great things happened in the church. They were to build, add on. It was a good, fruitful 6+ years. But at the same time, if you've ever been a part of any organization or any church or any family or any group of people together, you know that conflict is, again, inevitable, that conflict arises, conflict happens, that it's a part of being in relationship with other human beings. And during those six plus years, there were a couple of times of conflict, nothing like serious enough to make me want to get out of the ministry or anything like that, but there were certainly times where people within the church found themselves at odds with each other. And there was one particular time about halfway through our tenure there that we got in the midst of a conflict that made me rack my brain daily trying to figure out exactly what to do, what I could have done better, maybe some situations or decisions I could have made that would have lessened the conflict or maybe would have made it happen quicker. But it might have been one of those things that was just going to happen. But anyway, that conflict isn't really the whole point. I want to tell you that conflict lasted about a year. It was just kind of something under the surface that just kind of hung around for a year. And it was difficult for myself. It was difficult for everybody else involved. And it made things awkward. It made things weird. You know what it's like to be part of a conflict. But the way that it got resolved is the interesting part that I want to focus on this morning. So because the way that it got resolved was by another conflict, by another issue that rose. We had someone in the church, someone new to the church, come in and steal some money from the church. It wasn't a good situation. And we needed to decide as a church what we were going to do about that situation, whether we were going to pursue them through legal means or whether we were going to show forgiveness and try to move forward. And the church was fairly divided over exactly what we were going to do. A group of us wanted to show forgiveness and move forward. Some wanted to press charges in order to make sure that didn't happen again and to get back what we had lost. And so there was this big discussion back and forth. And in the business meeting where we decided this, we had groups from each opinion, stand up, share their case, share why they thought what they thought. And we had both groups almost equally represented. And several people from both sides of the argument said during the conversation, no matter what happens, no matter what decision we make, I know that there's good either way. I can see both sides, the good in both sides. I hope that we can just move forward together as a church body into what God wants for us in the future, that we can just move forward together. And we had the vote at the end of the meeting. We decided not to pursue any legal means to show forgiveness. It was a fairly close vote. And then at the end of the business meeting, and this will always be one of my favorite memories, even though it was in a business meeting, which is highly unlikely. So always be one of my favorite memories of church life. We had someone who had voted in opposition to what actually ended up happening stand up, an older lady, stand up with tears in her eyes and say, I'm not kidding you when she said this, she said, this is the best business meeting that I have ever been a part of. And she went on to explain herself that everyone in the church had stood up, vocalized what they thought was the right thing to do, even when they were in disagreement with someone else, someone that they cared about, and then together put the disagreement aside, made a decision, and decided to move on. And it was as if in that moment, all of the conflict that had been brewing, again, it wasn't huge, but it was something that was brewing under the surface for about a year, all of that all of a sudden just went away and disappeared. And this one conflict, this one thing that we came together on, found a fairly win-win solution and decided to press forward, actually ended up bringing us together. You see, a lot of times with conflict, we often give it a bad connotation, or society has given conflict a bad connotation. And so we want to avoid conflict. We want to stay away from it. We assume that only bad things can come from conflict. But I'm going to propose a different idea to you this morning. And again, it starts with that one premise that conflict is inevitable. If you've been in any relationship of any kind, you know what I'm talking about. If you're married or you have a parent or you have a child or you have a friend or you've been in a church, you know what conflict is about. You know that your interests sometimes run contrary to interests of those that you are in relationship with and that you care about. And very seldom in conflict in today's world do we actually have calm face-to-face conversations, you know, where we actually try to actually talk things through like we did in that business meeting. And maybe that shouldn't be the exception to the rule, but it seems to be, doesn't it? Because usually when we think about conflict in today's world, we think about people on the TV yelling at each other over political issues. We think about people taking stands on Facebook with these long 3-page rants. And we don't ever think about people standing or sitting together calmly and discussing things with respect and patience. Since conflict is inevitable, we as Christians should seek to manage it in the best way possible. Not to avoid it, but to manage it in the best way possible, in a way that gives God glory and infuses his kingdom with power. And so this morning, as we begin our study on conflict, we're going to start with this idea. Well-managed conflict is an essential element of any healthy relationship. Well-managed conflict is an essential element of any healthy relationship. Now, you might think conflict doesn't scream healthy relationship to me, but I would disagree with that, because conflict doesn't have to mean knockdown, drag-out fight. Conflict is any time our interests run contrary to someone else. And from the beginning of the human race, from the dawn of the human race, conflict has existed. We have been in conflict with one another. It should be no surprise then that God has the answer to why we are in conflict and then what to do about it. One of the main reasons why we as churches, we as Christians, don't know how to handle conflict correctly is because we haven't taken the very concrete, basic basic instruction that Scripture has given us on the issue. And so this morning we're going to start with a verse out of the Old Testament in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, that shows us why conflict is inevitable. And then we're going to jump into the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 26, that gives us a basic framework for dealing with conflict in a godly manner. Again, we're going to start in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, which reads this. Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Again, surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Now, if you have it, jump to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Again, conflict is inevitable. Conflict will happen. And the author of Ecclesiastes tells us very plainly why that is by describing one of the basic truths about human nature, that none of us are perfect. All of us have fallen. Surely there is not a righteous man who never sins, Ecclesiastes tells us. There's a lot of different ways that that's pictured throughout Scripture. There is no one righteous, no, not one. Paul says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No one is perfect. No one has it all together. And so that means no matter how perfect of a person you think you are, or no matter how perfect of a person you think the people with whom you are in relationships with, no matter how perfect you think they are, they will make mistakes. I remember when I was a child, and the people that I looked up to as I began to grow older, and I would watch them like adults, I would see them occasionally make mistakes. I would see someone I respected, like a coach or a parent or someone else, say something that they shouldn't, or a pastor or a youth pastor, behave in a way that was unbecoming of a Christian. And suddenly, there was that moment where I had to decide either I was going to like completely lose faith in everybody because this person that I had put on a pedestal had all of a sudden proven that he didn't belong up there, or I was going to decide that, hey, even the people on the pedestal make mistakes. No one is perfect. Everyone makes mistakes. That makes conflict inevitable. We will strive for perfection in our lives, but we can be 99.99999% sure that we will make mistakes. And if you're being honest, the first person you usually think of when you hear something inflammatory or controversial, think about that for just a second. If you hear someone say something inflammatory, you hear someone say something controversial or scary or something that could cause conflict, whose interest do you usually have in mind at first? Whose interest do you usually have in mind at first? Your own, right? Because we're all, at nature, selfish beings. And you might think that I have other people's interest in mind, but that gut reaction when you hear something controversial, scary, challenging, whatever it might be, the first person that you're going to think of, how does this affect me? Not how does this affect my neighbor, but how does this affect me? And we could say that that's good, that's bad. Of course that's bad, but that's how we all are. That's where we all start. That seems to be our gut reaction. And so conflict is inevitable because all of us are fallen. But conflict is also inevitable because all of us simply have different tastes. We like different things. We prefer different things. You can have conflict over where we set the temperature at, right? Over the thermostat. Because if it was up to me, we'd have it at 65 degrees. If it was up to some of you, we'd have it at 80 degrees, right? But there's conflict in that. Our interests run contrary to one another. And so we have to decide, we have to make an agreement where we're going to set it. As a church, if you took a church bus full of people and you said, hey, where do you guys want to eat this afternoon? Especially if you took a bunch of kids, right? If you're headed back from camp after everybody's had a long week and nobody really wants to deal with each other anymore, it's known that nicey-nice, we'll go wherever you want to go. When you ask them that question, hey, where do you guys want to eat? Half are going to want to go to Taco Bell, half are going to want to go to Chick-fil-A, some, you know, maybe not in either one of those halves, are just going to want to go home because they're tired and they want to get there. If you ask people interest questions, you're going to find that our interests run contrary with each other. Maybe if you try to decide with your spouse or someone that you live with, a roommate or something, if you're going to paint the walls or you're going to redecorate, again, you'll find that we just inherently seem to run at odds with each other when it comes to various interests. But while inevitable, conflict doesn't have to be destructive. We don't have to turn to the nuclear option. In other words, where if we don't get our way, we're just going to mess everything up. You remember when you were a kid? Maybe the guys, you remember you were at the park or you were out playing with your friends and you had brought the football and you're trying to decide on whether or not that person actually tagged you, right? You only got me with one hand. You didn't get me with two and you were playing two below. Remember those days, guys? You were having that argument over whether or not you were actually down. And if you actually brought the ball, you had the nuclear option, didn't you? You could just say, I'm taking the ball and I'm going home, right? Because that's how a lot of us still react in the adult world. If we have an argument, we just want to throw the nuclear option out there because what matters the most is getting our way. And maybe if you weren't the kind that played, playground football, maybe you can certainly remember. I can surely remember when I get in an argument with my friends as a kid, we'd go back and forth and then I would pull out the thing out of my pocket. You guys have to remember this. You're not coming to my birthday party. You guys remember that? Oh yeah, well you're not coming to my birthday party. And you just go back and forth. Remember that was like the nuclear option that ended the argument, right? Because that was done. You were not friends for at least another 3 or 4 hours and then you could be fine with each other. In our world today, we often operate in that same way. If we don't agree with each other on this issue, and we don't do it face-to-face, and this is what makes it so toxic. If we don't agree with each other on this issue, then we can't get along with each other. And so we put ourselves in groups, right? Conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat, Christian, non-Christian, Baptist, Methodist, Church of Christ, whatever. We put ourselves in these different camps where as long as we define ourselves in this way, we can hang out with the people who disagree with us and then we never actually have to have constructive conflict conversations with people with whom we disagree. And we wonder why things are so inflammatory because we can just say, I'm going to take my ball and I'm going to go home, right? I'm going to go hang out with the people that I agree with and you can be left on your own to your own devices. This is how we normally see conflict in our world. But conflict does not have to be destructive. For we are members one of another, Paul tells us in Ephesians 4. Well-managed conflict is an essential element of any healthy relationship. The destructiveness of conflict can often lead us to avoid it, can it? Because we're afraid that someone will take the nuclear option, because we're afraid that conflict might result in the destruction of relationships, or at least result in us looking bad in a situation or in an argument, or losing the argument, God forbid. If we're afraid of those things, we often just avoid conflict altogether. And this, I think, is where a lot of people fall. I know this is where I fall. Can I get a testimony from anybody else in the building? Do you tend to avoid conflict? Yes? Well, I don't see many hands because some of y'all are avoiding conflict and you don't even want to take a side right here, okay? This is how bad this is, right? I avoid conflict almost at all costs. I'll do it when it's necessary. I'll do it when I absolutely have to. But someone's going to have to convince me that I have to. And hopefully it's the Holy Spirit that'll convince me that I have to, that conflict is essential because I want to avoid it at all costs because I'm afraid of the destruction that it might bring into my life, into my relationships. One of the worst things, though, that you can do with conflict is to avoid it at all costs. That's one of the worst things you can do with it. Because conflict doesn't just go away when you avoid it. The anger that fuels your conflict, I should say, doesn't just go away when you avoid it. Instead, what does it do? It builds slowly. like a volcano waiting to erupt, gathering much more potential energy every day until finally there is an explosion. Anybody identify with that? When you just avoid something for day after day after day, maybe it's a marriage, maybe it's a friendship, maybe it's something at work where you have a coworker that has this little tick that just gets on your nerves, but you don't want to bring it up, and so every day it just gets worse and worse, and that one little thing all of a sudden becomes a big thing to where you've forgotten even what the little thing was that started it all, but you're just angry and you have to do something about it, and boom, it finally explodes. That's why we can't avoid conflict. There are costs to avoiding conflict. Mistakes get made. When some things happen that shouldn't, sometimes we have to stand up and say, that shouldn't happen. And if nobody does that, then that thing that shouldn't happen ends up happening. Resentment sets in. If I'm going to avoid my conflict, I'm just going to swallow it. Like, I'm just going to deal with it because I love you and I care for you. I'm just going to deal with my anger and my frustration. Instead of just dealing with it, a lot of times I'm going to end up resenting you. I'm going to end up muttering about you under my breath or thinking things about you that I shouldn't because I don't actually bring it out and deal with it and actually talk about it. Potential win-win situations are never even discussed. Right? The thing that there might be a compromise, there might be some middle ground. None of that is ever sought for if conflict is avoided at all costs. Think about parents trying to raise their children. Let's say mom thinks that in order to bring some kind of correction to the child, they should spank. Dad's like, no, I was brought in a family that used timeouts. And there's this disagreement with each other. And both sides have psychological backing behind them. And both sides have family backing behind them. And both sides have worked for different people. And so you have these people come into conflict with each other in a marriage relationship, raising children. Think that that might happen, mom and dad? Maybe that has happened in your life before where you've had a conflict over raising your children. And instead of doing something about it, let's just suppose that such a couple just avoided it, right? Dad decided that he was going to use timeouts and mom used spanking. And the kid got messed up because this happened with mom, that happened with dad, didn't know what to expect, didn't know exactly how things were going. Maybe begins to resent mom because she uses physical tactics and dad uses others. Maybe begins to think dad is weak and doesn't really lead the family. All of these sorts of things because they simply didn't come together and find an agreement. And maybe there is a middle ground there somewhere. I don't know what that might be in that kind of situation, but if you avoided it, things will not go well, things will not end well, because conflict avoided just ends up in greater conflict down the road. Paul says, let each one of you speak truth to his neighbor. We are members one of another. We belong to each other. We are part of the body of Christ. We are in relationship with one another. And so Paul's advice to us is to speak truth with one another. Other places in the Bible it says to speak truth in love with each other. That we should be motivated by the love that we have, but at the same time we should be willing to boldly speak truth. To say what's right, what's wrong, to how we're being led, to what we think this Bible tells us we ought to do in this situation. And then Paul gives us the big impetus to actually handle it now, do something about it now. He says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Did you know that much relationship research shows that couples who learn to argue about little things actually avoid huge blow-up fights that end up in a destruction of a relationship? Couples that learn to argue about little things actually have healthier long-term relationships than couples who avoid conflict at all costs. Because what happens? It builds, it builds, it builds, and those little things become a big thing, and that breaks the relationship down. So if you argue with your spouse, you had to have a healthy relationship, right? That means a bunch of y'all have a healthy relationship. Isn't that the truth? If we learn how to argue about the little things, if we learn how to discuss, not argue necessarily, but if we learn how to constructively manage conflict over the little things, we'll avoid the big destructive conflicts that break down relationships. Well-managed conflict is an essential part, an essential element of any healthy relationship. If any of you have ever trained for anything, you've ever lifted weights, you've ever done any kind of sports training, you know that the point of that is to literally break your body down, right? To hurt your body so that when it rebounds, it will be better than it was. Weightlifting, for instance. When you are lifting weights, you are literally tearing muscle. That's what you are doing on purpose to your body so that after you let your body heal for 24 to 48 hours, it builds back that muscle and then some more, and you're able to lift more weight the next time. That's the whole purpose of lifting weight. But the idea where you start is by literally hurting yourself. by tearing your own muscle, breaking your own body down. In other words, introducing conflict into your very body. That's where you start. In the same way, we make our relationships healthier by dealing with the small conflicts, by dealing with those little issues instead of just avoiding them all, so that when the big ones come, we have a healthier system, we have a healthier relationship, we have stronger people, and we're able to handle those bigger tests to our togetherness. And if we don't go through these things, if we just avoid conflict, then when something big that none of us can avoid comes up, we won't know what to do, and everything will just end up splitting and dividing, and we'll each go our separate ways. When you enter into conflict with one another, some good things can happen. And here's the one that none of us really want to admit when conflict starts. But if you enter into constructive conflict with someone that you care about, you might actually come out saying, maybe I was wrong, right? Maybe not me, maybe you guys would actually say, maybe I was wrong. Maybe some belief that I held was actually incorrect. And because I was willing to take constructive conflict, to have a constructive conversation with someone with whom I disagree, I was able to see the error of my ways and correct it so that we might work better together in our relationship. Maybe that might actually happen if you enter into it constructively. And guess what? That's a good thing, okay? Because if you're wrong, you don't want to be wrong, correct? If you're wrong, let's say you're flying a plane and you're doing it the wrong way. You want someone to correct you, don't you? If you're going through life and you're doing something incorrect, hopefully you have the mindset that you want someone to offer you some form of correction. If you don't, then we have trouble. You're just going to end up crashing the plane. You're just going to end up making a big mistake, and you're going to have to learn from your mistakes instead of learning from someone who might offer correction. Conflict can bring that correction into your lives, and it can bring that ever so valuable win-win solution, what we call a compromise. You might find that, okay, I don't want to do this, you don't want to do this, let's think of something else, and that something else that you think of is actually better than either one of the things you thought of. Right? Well, let's take it with something simple. Let's say Cheryl and I are trying to decide where we want to eat for lunch afterwards. I want steak, she wants fish, and instead we decide, well, where's somewhere we can meet in the middle? What about a barbecue place? You know what? That's exactly what I wanted, was barbecue. I didn't realize it until just now, but that's exactly what I wanted. In the same way, you can come together with different ideas, and if you learn to constructively manage conflict, to talk things through in a calm, precise, patient manner with each other, you might find that you end up coming up with something better altogether. So let's use conflict in a healthy way. Let's not avoid it. It's inevitable, but it doesn't have to be destructive. It can be something that we use that be a part of our healthy relationship. And so this week, when you find yourself in conflict, because it is inevitable, it's probably going to happen. If not this week, it'll happen the next one or the next one. But I want you to ask yourself a few questions. You can write these down if you want to. Think about these as the next time you come through conflict. First, what was that really all about anyway? What was that conflict really about? Like, what were we actually talking about? A lot of times that can be the hardest thing to discover with conflict, because it can become about the conflict itself instead of being about whatever the disagreement was. So number one, what was the conflict really about? Number two, what is the worst that could have happened with that conflict? Now, with some conflicts, divorce or destruction of a relationship or not seeing each other ever again, those are potential things that can happen with the worst thing imaginable. But with most conflicts, most little conflicts, when we think of what the worst thing that could have happened is, we're going to realize it's probably not as much as we feared. Remember several weeks ago, we talked about worry, and we talked about like 70%, 80-something percent of the things you worry about actually never happen. In the same way, when we worry about the what actually might happen with conflict, I think sometimes we're illogical and we don't ask ourselves that question. What's really the worst that could have happened? Number three, did I consider the needs of others in the midst of the conflict? And maybe this is where the heart of having constructive conflicts come from. Did I consider the needs of others in the midst of the conflict, or was I just worried about my own needs, about what I wanted? Again, we are selfish beings, and when a conflict arises, the first person's interest that comes to mind is almost always our own. And so take a deep breath when that happens. That's going to happen. Don't beat yourself up for it, but take a deep breath when that happens and think, what is the best for the person with whom I'm having this conflict? Did you consider the needs of others in the midst of the conflict? And then finally, Could I have used that conflict to bring about something positive? Could I have used that conflict to bring about something positive? Is there something good that could come from this, basically? That's what I'm wanting you to ask. Conflict does not have to be destructive. Conflict has a bad connotation because our culture currently handles conflict in a selfish, childish, negative manner. Conflict happens throughout Scripture. If you think about it, even in the early church, in Acts chapter 6, there was a group of people, widows, who weren't having people cared for them. And in essence, that's a conflict. When that problem gets brought to the attention of the leaders, that's a conflict in itself because it's someone saying, this isn't happening and it should happen. We're missing something. We're not doing something right. And instead of the people in charge saying, well, how dare you question us, or I can't believe you're actually insulting me that way, they said, okay, let's do something about it. So they all got together. They elected some men that were going to take care of that task so that the guys that were leading could be about the gospel. And they worked together, and they found a group of deacons, with Stephen and some of the others, that actually took care of the widows in their need. And the rest of them did what they were doing to begin with. But because they came together, right? They had a disagreement in their midst, and instead of taking it personal, they came together and decided they were going to talk through it again patiently, calmly, together as a group, and well-managed conflict became part of the healthy relationship of the early church. There is a specific way to handle biblical conflict, and we're going to find that in Matthew 18 next week, but we start right here, this idea. Conflict is inevitable, but it doesn't have to be destructive. It doesn't have to be destructive. Don't avoid it at all costs, because well-managed conflict is an essential element of every healthy relationship. And if you want healthy relationships in your life, you need to learn not to avoid conflict, but to fight fair, to do conflict the right way, the biblical way. I'm not talking about arguing. I'm not talking about knockdown dragouts. I'm talking about handling the natural disagreements that arise because we are all people fallen with different interests, handling them in a biblical way so that something good might come of that, something better than would have happened if there wasn't any conflict to begin with. So this morning, I want you to think about those things, those four questions, especially that last one. Is there something good? Could I have used this conflict to bring about something positive? Maybe there's a conflict going on in your life right now. And maybe it's gotten past the point where it's no longer beneficial because it's devolved into personal issues and things are getting really heated and people have said things that they can't take back and things that they shouldn't have said. If you need to pray about that or any other kind of conflict or anything in general period that you're going through, I will be down here during the time of invitation. I would love to pray with you about that. If there's anybody who doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you would like to, again, I would love to lead you in that direction during our time of invitation. I can talk with you about it after the service as well. But know that I'm here to pray with you about anything, and the altar is open if you would like to pray there. Let's stand together during our time of invitation. I'm going to pray, and you move in whatever way God is calling. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. God, we thank you for being here in our midst. And God, we thank you for working through each of us. And God, we know that we all come together with different ideas, different ways of looking at the world, and sometimes that means we can come into conflict with one another. God, I pray, my prayer for this church, for First Baptist Church Grandview, God, is that you would help us to see each other as fallen human beings who are going to make mistakes, but to see each other through your eyes with the love that you have for us, to see ourselves in that way. And God, to see conflict not as something that has to end dirty with a church split, but God, as something that you can use to further your kingdom, to help us find middle ground, to help us find win-win situations. God, something that can be a part of a healthy relationship. God, let us not be scared by conflict, but let us rest assured in the fact that we love each other enough that conflict is not going to break us apart. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.